Morning, church.
Morning.
There's my 10:45 crowd. You're wide awake today. Oh, on a dreary day like this, can you be wide awake? I must confess with no shame that during that last song and that picture of being on eternity's shore and the great feast of the Lamb, where all the church, capital C, across the world is called together to one big celebration. Isn't that fantastic? And that's really what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the church, small c, Trinity Church, churches like ours, being a visual expression of what that is going to be like. Would you pray with me? Father, your plan is beyond our imagination. You sent your perfect Son to die for us. We didn't deserve it. And he said when he left this earth that he'd come again. There was testimony that just like he left us, he would come again and take us home to be with him. And there would be this grand celebration. Father, we must confess that on earth, because of our human frailties, our sinful proclivities, we don't always express what it's going to be. And you've called us to do that. And so, Lord, as we look at this passage this morning and as we think about this topic today, we ask that you would change our lives and encourage us that the church on earth might be like the church in heaven, expressing the beauty of inclusion of people from across the face of this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you to begin with that the topic I'm talking about this morning, more than monotone, is one that is very near and dear to my heart and one that I'm passionate about. And I have to dial back my passion because when I get too passionate, I can sound a little harsh. Don't think for a minute I'm not passionate, because I am. But just think about this for a moment. If I could speak in monotone, you know, just always the same way, hello, how are you? How are you doing? How long would you listen? Probably about 10 seconds less than you do now. No sleepers in the front row here, guys. I got you right where I want you. No, nobody wants to listen to somebody all the time that speaks in monotone. Or can you imagine going to a grand orchestra concert, and when you get there, every instrument plays one note for 45 minutes? You'd walk out, wouldn't you? Or can you imagine... And I, as a Packer fan, I think the Vikings do play like this sometimes. Hold the stones, don't judge. Can you imagine a team made up of just backs, quarterbacks, running backs, no linemen? What would happen? Have even a worse record than the Vikings had last year. Ouch, okay. You got to put up with the Packer fan, you know that. You need linemen, like this old guy when I was a lineman. Those days are long gone. But I used to tell my quarterback all the time, because I was a center, you're not going to get the playoff without me. And you're going to get tackled unless I block the guy in front of me. We need each other. It's one big group, even though we're different. Let me also tell you this, that I grew up in a family where one of my grandfathers was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. After he died, we found all the regalia. We knew that he was in it, but we found all the regalia. And can you imagine, somebody talked to me between services and said, I grew up in southern Alabama. I know what you're talking about. He didn't expect somebody from northern Wisconsin to talk about that. You know, we learned either directly or indirectly from my grandfather, and I've got to say, I love my grandpa. There was a side of him when it came to the family that was just fantastic, but he had this dark side, if I can say it that way, where he was part of the Ku Klux Klan, and I, looking back, I see some of those attitudes that have creeped into my ancestry. We were taught to hate. We were taught to hate in northern Wisconsin, Catholics, and Jews. We didn't have many African Americans in northeastern Wisconsin, but he was in full connection with the folks down south. And it kind of permeated us so that later on in life, as I started dealing with this topic in my own life, I realized that I had this built-in dislike, perhaps hatred, particular of Jews. Is that what God's called us to? Absolutely not, and you know that. And so the church is to be more than monotone, and we need to recognize that it's more than monotone. I'm not talking about music, I'm talking about people. Let me begin by sharing some what I call gospel affirmations from the scriptures. Gospel affirmations from the scriptures. The first one is that Christ died for everyone. I don't think that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will deny that. But listen to what Paul says in Galatians. For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. In other words, there's no ethnic barriers. The passage that Reese was referring to earlier in Ephesians chapter 2 was that when Christ died on the cross, the barriers were blasted away between Jew and Greek, between Jew and Gentile. For as many who are baptized in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free. That's social economic. That's status in the culture. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're bound up by the systems of the culture, or you have complete freedom to make as much money as you can, and that's your goal in life, in the body of Christ, there's no difference between you. No slave nor free. There's no male and no female. That one should not be hard for me to explain. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Do you know how radical that was to the Jew? To say that somebody like me was an heir to the promise that was given to Abraham, but it happened because of the cross. Christ died for everyone. And he is building us into a holy temple as his dwelling place. Ephesians chapter 2, which is a key text in this whole topic. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 reads this way. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit. You know what he's saying here? God builds his church, both capital C, that's all over the world, and small c, that's Trinity, such that we are a welcoming place for God. And if we're a welcoming place for God, it means because we're a welcoming place for everybody else, everybody. It means that we are to put on display for ourselves to see it and for the world to see it, that the Holy Spirit lives here because we love each other, we care about each other, and it doesn't make any difference whether we're Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. That's an important text for us. Remember Reese's statement in a recent sermon? We're not called to defend God, we're called to put him on display. That's what he's talking about right here. We're called to put God on display. And the best way to raise up God before this culture is to show a church that's united. A church that doesn't criticize each other. A church that loves each other and cares about each other. Further, Jesus prayed and Paul affirmed that we are all to live in unity. That doesn't mean that we're all the same. Our denomination started with Norwegian, Danish, and Swedish roots. And I'm Dutch. That's inclusive. You laugh. There was a day where people like me would never be welcomed as a pastor in the Free Church. I didn't speak Norwegian. I didn't speak Danish. I didn't speak Swedish. One of our former presidents, they teased him, but there was a barb in the teasing. When he was elected, they said, okay, now you have to add an S-O-N to the end of your name. Because he too wasn't Norwegian, Danish, or Swedish. And then there's, you got to know who the S-E-N's and the S-O-N's are. Which ones are Norwegian and which ones are Danish and which ones are Swedish. Never did figure all that out. It's got me in a little trouble a couple times. Paul affirmed that whoever we are, we're to live in unity. No matter what our differences within our lives and our families, we're to live in unity if we're all in Christ. Now, further, and I've already touched on this, the local church is called to be a visual expression of these truths. And I can't emphasize that enough. What does Lakeville see in Trinity? Do we paint a picture that God is for everybody? I think in some ways we do, but are there ways we don't? We need to ask ourselves that question. Further, we are called to bring the gospel to all people. That means to everybody. And some of us haven't learned that people no longer in this culture come to hear the gospel. We have to go and give them the gospel. And we're called to bring it to all people. Matthew 28, the great commission passage says, go therefore into all the world and make disciples. All the world. That means if you're in the United States, we generally use that verse as a missionary mandate. I get it. I believe in it. Our denomination is in 70 different countries. Some of those countries have very strong movements of churches. But even here in the United States, with all the diversity we have in this country, all people means all people. Why? Because all people matter to God, don't they? God died for everybody. And then what we just sang about, we have the privilege of worshiping together for all eternity. You see that in Revelation 5 and Revelation 7, where it says that this great throng of people were sitting at the throne from every tribe, tongue, and nation, worshiping God. And as this elderly person who taught my Sunday school class when I was in seminary, I sat under somebody who was probably older than I am right now. When I was a young whippersnapper seminary student, thought I knew a lot, I sat under her teaching. I remember one of her favorite phrases is, we better get used to worshiping together here on this earth because we're going to be worshiping together in eternity. So let's figure it out here, how we can worship together. Gospel affirmations, that's the foundation. Rollo, would you come up here? Oh, who stole my mic? You gonna grab that one? I left one here. I'm sorry, Rollo. I'll make you bend over. You got a better back than I do.
Yeah. Test. Yeah, right. It was just rebuilt in Christmas time.
Yeah, you had it. We need to talk about that, because that would have been more of an effort for me than you, but I know you've had a bad back. How long have you and Melville have been attending Trinity? And then with that, what was your initial reception by the congregation?
We started in 1998. I transferred from another, moved there from another church after being a worship leader for 25 years. And they were very accepting, because I looked a lot like many of you then, which is sort of different than how I look now. But as I became very interested in motorcycle riding as a ministry about 10 years ago, I started changing my appearance, because people prejudge people. Even if you go out to the motorcycle community, if I wore a suit and tie, they'd never talk to me. But if I go out there and look somewhat like them, or somewhat myself, and not what other people expect of me, then they're more accepting of me. So I end up changing quite a bit, and I started wearing my stuff to church, because I had ministry things after church. I wore it during the choir, and I've had a lot of looks then. Why is he doing that? That's not normal. We shouldn't be doing that here. But I found later that many times somebody in the congregation was blessed by that. They felt accepted, or they listened to the message, or they would come back and come to church again just because of me. Amen. And I would, be myself in the ministry I'm doing.
That's fantastic. Yeah, you do look a little weird.
Thanks, so do you. We all do, in our own way. God created us equally.
Yeah, I'm perfect. If my information is right, you and Melva have been married, will have been married as of about August 1st or so, 47 years. Now, the image I grew up with, thinking about bikers, people didn't, if they got married at all, it didn't last for 47 years. Is that right? And why do you think that is?
Well, being saved on early on in my 20s, and our marriage, we were married both as late teens and early 20s. Mel was down here, and a friend of mine, the state coordinator from CMA, is also here, Dave Adams. Over time, with God's blessing and direction, if we have him as our foundation and our direction, our goal, anything can happen. And he's encouraged us. We continue to grow constantly. We even attended the United Marriage class 2 months ago, because, why are they going? They've been married 47 years. But you can always get better, and there's always new things you can do, and there's always new challenges that the devil puts in your place that you overcome with the Spirit and God's blessing and direction.
Amen. Karen and I tried to get into that group, but you must have got in there ahead of us, because there wasn't room for us. So,
but my look has changed, because people prejudge, but I've had long hair, I've braided hair down my waist, and long hair. And so I've looked a lot different depending on what community I want to be accepted in, so I can actually befriend them, generate a relationship, and lead them to God's word and blessing and
potentially
salvation.
Amen. You've already alluded to the fact that you're a member of Christian Motorcycle Association, and I know you're active in that ministry. Now, every year, as I understand it, you go to the most notorious rally in the country, Sturgis. Why in the world would you go to Sturgis with all those evil bikers out there?
Well, I thought they were all saved, and I was just trying to be with the rest of the Christians.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, they need Christ too. And as you go out and do ministry and you talk to people, they feel left out. And they're very hypocritical of the people in church, because they see people in church one way and they walk outside the door and they're another way. So a lot of them won't come to church, and that's what they tell me. And so we take the church to them. We have church services every morning. We volunteer in the city, various places in the city, parking lots. We help in the photo towers. We also spend time just walking the streets and finding people and sitting on the benches that we put out there and sit and talk to them and chat to them and what they're doing, how is their life. And, people are hurting. just like you and me. People struggle with society, pressures they have, things that happen to them and that they blame God for, and we find out, and we get to talk to them and say, hey, it's not God's doing. It's the sin that's in our environment by natural, by we were born with that, and we have to overcome that, and there's only one way to overcome that. So we have a chance to spread the gospel to them, and you know, we get blessed once in a while, and the Lord allows us to lead them to the Lord.
Amen.
And that's a bleak blessing, but that's our goal, is to give them the message first and see. And we see people there from year to year, so we can follow up with them periodically.
Well, if you lead any to Christ in this area and you think church is hypocritical, they're probably right. We're hypocritical in some ways, but tell them there's one pastor you know that would love to have a whole bunch of them here.
And that's Reese?
Yeah,
oh.
That's Reese. I know, see, beside what we've already talked about, CMA is involved in all kinds of stuff, and we don't have time to talk about it, but one area that you've been involved in as CMA that strikes home with those of us in the Evangelical Free Church, because we use the Jesus film all over the world to present the story of God, the story of Jesus Christ, to people who perhaps have never even heard about Christianity, and CMA's had a big part in that. Could you just briefly tell us how CMA's helped us with the Jesus film?
Yeah, from your statement earlier, it was to go into all the world. And our creator of CMA, Herb Shreves, said very early on, said, motorcycles can't swim. And so it's a problem getting across the ocean. But the Bible says in Mark 16:15 that we have to go to all the world and preach the good news. So how do we do that? So he made partnerships with three different ministries. One was the Open Doors Ministry, Mission Ventures, and then the Jesus Film. And then to support that, we started Run for the Sun, which is our fundraising ministry. So 40% we use for our side, but 20% goes to each one of those ministries. And Jesus Film is one of those. We gave them $900,000 last year. And out of that, they used the Wycliffe translations that have been developed. And John, we have a Wycliffe translator here in our fellowship. And from those translations, there's 1,400 translations. So we've taken those translations and funded the conversion of the Jesus film into each of those translations. And we've put it on a phone app. You can put it on your phone app, Jesus film. And you can have 1,400 translations there just at your fingertips. There's also other things. But based on that, that allows us to go into all the world and spread the good news of Jesus' life and his salvation opportunity through him. So we've been in all kinds of countries of the world. We've had other motorcycle things, and so it's...
Praise God. Thanks, Raleigh. I think it is very typical that people, if you drive down the street, or if you walk into a church that doesn't know who you are, you would be prejudged. But we see your heart, and I love your passion for Christ and reaching others with the good news of the gospel. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
With the gospel affirmations that we've looked at just a few minutes ago, and you've listened to the testimony of Raleigh, there's some modern church realities that we have to confront ourselves with. The first is this, that we find it very difficult to cross theological, generational, racial, social lines, economic and political boundaries. That's humanly normal. But it's, can I say this? It's sin. If we are not willing to cross the boundaries in our culture, how are we ever going to reach other people in this culture? How are we ever going to find out how beautiful it is to be part of a church and the large C as well as the small C, a church that is made up of all kinds of people? Now, I know there are some in this church that have a lot of money, and I know there are some people in this church that don't have hardly anything. I know that there's some ethnic diversity, not a lot, some social economic diversity. And some of you might be shocked by this. I know there's some political diversity in this church. You know, none of that should divide us in the body of Christ. You can say amen louder to that. None of that should divide us. None of that should stop us from reaching out to people who are not just like us. I have discovered that it is so enriching and so filled with joy when you reach out to people who aren't just like you. But we find it difficult to cross those lines. We have to ask ourselves personally why. We often attribute, and here's, I think, one reason why. We often attribute divisions to the other, not our own mindset. By the other, I mean the person that's different than us. But they don't want to be with us. You know that? They don't want to worship with us. You know that? They wouldn't be interested in what I'm interested in. Do you really know that? When I was president of the Evangelical Free Church, I had dozens of conversations with undocumented immigrants, Muslims in taxis, airports, and even a mosque, plus hundreds of people of different races around the world. And you know what I found? It was a people that God loved and cared about. And at their core, they were looking for the same things that I was looking for. They had dreams for their family of love, safety, education, economic stability. And deep in their heart, they were longing for something bigger than themselves. Do you believe that? Do you know that? If you don't know, it's probably because you haven't taken the time to cross those boundaries. Another reason perhaps why it's difficult to cross those boundaries is we often judge the character and motives of others without seeing how God values them, their value to God. They're, from conception to death, every person on the face of this earth has value to God. From conception to death, God cares about everybody. They matter to Him. Do they matter to us? I have to admit there are some times when there are certain people that don't matter as much as they should. I don't care. And if you're honest, you have to say the same thing. And what happens is we look at them from a distance and we judge their character. It's like looking at Rollo, if you don't know him, and say, oh boy, what's a biker doing in our church? They're a bad dude bunch of people. And we judge their motives because we don't know them. I'm not saying there aren't evil people in this world, but I'm saying there are far fewer than you probably know. Maybe they don't know Jesus yet, but they still have the same inner desires that you have. Another reason why we don't cross boundaries is we see those who are different as a project, not a people loved by God. Can I say this loud and clear, my friends? Don't get involved in Restored. Don't get involved in care ministry. Don't get involved in special journeys. Don't go on mission trips or anything else where we are crossing boundaries with people who are different than us unless you see the value of those people to God. They are not a project. They are a people who God loves. I've had in the past some of the sweetest relationships with Down syndrome adults. Down syndrome adults. Is it uncomfortable at times? Sure. But if I saw those that I know as a project, they wouldn't know that I loved them. And I do. Another reason is we often overlook His commandments commands, that's God's command, and the value of being a unified, diverse body. I'm sure particularly those of you who are a little more artsy and like nice things, you've seen beautiful tapestries. And on the one side, they're just gorgeous, aren't they? A tapestry that's very well done is just gorgeous. You look at the back side, it's not so gorgeous. It's a little messy. Sometimes there's threads going on this way and that way, and there's knots and all that put together to form the beautiful tapestry on the other side. You know what God is saying to us? As he's building a church that looks like a beautiful tapestry that's invited him to be dwell within it, to put on display the beauty of Christ. Yes, there's messiness there. Yes, it doesn't look good if you look underneath because we all have sin in our lives. But if we serve together, put our preferences aside, put our differences on certain ideas aside, cross boundaries, social, economically, and ethnically, all kinds of boundaries we need to cross. It might look a little messy on the bottom, but in the top, it's beautiful, and the people of this world can see Jesus. And that's what he's called us to do. Some of the modern church realities. So how do we bridge this gap? First of all, and I call this gospel solutions, prayerfully re-examine your attitudes toward the other. Remember I said the other is people who are different than you? I've lived basically in Minnesota since 1972. Most of you know I'm an avid, I've already referred to it, Green Bay Packer fan. I must admit, and I confess to you, that I have not always had the best attitudes towards Minnesota Vikings. And I would rather be with Packer fans. But God put me in Minnesota. I had an elder in my church after I used one of the Vikings as an illustration of incompetence. And he knew he was an illustration of incompetence. Threatened me and said, if you want to remain elder of this, the pastor of this church, you need to stop using the Minnesota Viking illustrations. I heard the elder chair say amen. I'm now shaking in my boots, David. But all that is silly, but it shows us that we can put so many things that are really not that important as important. I had somebody between services ask me which political party I identify with. I wouldn't tell him. I knew what he was looking for. The answer was none. But we put certain political planks, our ethnicity, our social class, before people. My friends, that cannot be. Our preface must never be, our preferences must never be more important to us than people. That's the biblical standard. That's not Bill just getting wild and passionate. That's not Bill becoming politically correct. No, I've been accused of that before. No, I want to be biblically correct. Amen? People matter more than our preferences. People matter more than the stuff that we prefer. After all, the stakes are high. God is expecting us to put on display what it means to follow Jesus. Re-examine your attitudes towards people. Profess that all are created in God's image. Every person you encounter or talk about. One of the saddest things that's going on in our country is we don't talk about ideas, we talk about people and we call them names. It's so easy to get caught up in that. Friends, go away from it. Get away from it. Ideas are okay to talk about. Don't judge people as people. It just divides. Everybody is created in God's image. Every person you encounter is created in God's image. And then repent of your attitudes. What repent means to recognize that it's there and confess it to God and ask God the Holy Spirit to help you change and then start going in a different direction. Ingrained in me was a suspicious attitude and resistance to have relationships with anyone who was of Jewish descent. And then I discovered Messianic Jews who actually invited me at one point in time to speak at their conference of 3,000 people. And I saw their passion for the gospel. I saw their passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw their passion for Gentiles to come to Christ and for their Jewish heritage brothers and sisters to come to Christ. And I repented. Repent of your attitudes. Reach out to those who are outside your comfort zone. That's been a great experience for me. And a privilege. I've been put in places all around the world that most of you will never get to. But if you do travel across the world, don't stay huddled with just the people who are like you. Start talking to the local people and find out what makes them tick. And love them. And I could tell you story after story, and I'm running. I get in trouble, bigger trouble with the elder chair if I go past 12 o'clock because we got a meeting. Where's your amen, David? So I won't tell any more stories about that. But begin to cross the lines, the boundaries, and build relationships with those who are different. I have a very good friend who's a Free Church pastor in the Chicago area. And he and I were talking about this subject one day, and I said, Bill, we get along because we're both Bills. I said, Bill, how do I enter into the experience of the African American and understand what I see as some attitudes that I don't like? He said, use one question. Help me understand. Don't try to tell them what they're to be like. Ask them to help you understand why they are the way they are. So I started doing that. And I can tell you testimony after testimony of African American pastors who happen to be driving in majority white neighborhoods and were pulled over for no reason other than the color of their skin. Let that sink in for a minute. I had a staff member who was from Guatemala, and he wanted to buy a home in Eden Prairie. And he was afraid to do it because at that time, he would have been one of the few dark-skinned Hispanics in Eden Prairie. And twice after he bought the home, he was followed to make sure that he wasn't there for wrong reasons. I'm not picking on the police. I'm just saying, if you and I were there, we would probably do the same thing. Move out of your comfort zone and find out what their experiences are, and then build relationships with those who are different. You will learn a lot. You know, in our ministry area, 21% of our ministry area is ethnically diverse. That's a 15-mile radius. This was even more shocking to me. I kind of figured that one would be close to that. 78% of our ministry area is 56 years old and under. 48% of our ministry area is 35 and under. 50%, nearly 50% of the people who live in this circle that we call our ministry area are either millennials or Gen Zs. For some of us who are older, that means that we've got a lot of work to do to cross those barriers, those lines, and understand. I have the privilege of working with some wonderful Gen Xers. I did at the national office, and I do here. Not Gen Xers, millennials. And I can tell you this. I have never met people who are more passionate about doing ministry than the millennials that I work with here, and I did work with at the national office. They will put me and most of us to shame because of their passion for Jesus Christ and their passion for ministry. And I've heard all kinds of characterizations of that generation, and I grieve. It's just that you don't understand how they're wired. Don't judge them by your standard. Get to know them and find out what they're really made of. Closing, I'm going to put something up on the screen. Appropriate thing to end with, right, Rollo? Especially on a cloudy, rainy day. Now, when this campaign was started, it was started because there were so many accidents where cars just didn't pay attention, didn't see motorcycles. And I think a lot of us have seen those bumper stickers. You got 5 of them on your car, is that right? But implied in that is not for us to stop seeing cars. That would be tragic. Just look for motorcycles. Don't pay attention to the cars. So I'm not saying stop relating to and building relationships with people who are like you. What I am saying, start seeing people who are part of the other category. I hate even using that term. And reach out to them and build relationships with them. And I think you're going to be surprised. God's going to enrich you. God's going to bless you. And our church is going to be even better than it is now if we're a body that follows these principles. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Lord, as we close this service and take an offering, would you bless that offering and use it for your kingdom? And Father, might you go with us throughout this day. And might we think about the scriptures we talked about, not this old guy's preaching, but the scriptures that we've talked about. And might we see the beauty of the body of Christ as illustrated in the text and will be illustrated in just a moment in music. In Jesus' name, amen.